Hello again from me. Thank you very much, Sarah, for that reading. If you have a Bible with you or a device, then please keep your thumb or your finger hovering over. We'll be going back to a few chapters in that book several times in the next few minutes. I wonder how you received that reading this morning. Are you scratching your head thinking, what on earth has this got to do with us? What have these words got to say to me or to us in our day and age? Stay with me. Hopefully more will be revealed. Who we are as believers, as people of God, how we experience God, how we do church and how we worship has changed quite radically depending on the time and location. I find that interesting. Do you? That might have changed over time. Here in Exodus, God has been appearing as a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. Wow! Can you imagine that? I'm not aware of our sanctuary here being filled with a pillar of cloud, unless, of course, Chris or Dan or Sam have been up to some of their usual tricks. We've experienced a few of those. But I'm intrigued by this observation that God has met with his people and that has changed over times. Early on in Scripture in Genesis, we see God calling and walking with particular individuals like Abraham and Isaac and Joseph. And then we read of this gathering up of what has become an enormous people group in slavery and in Egypt, and of their formation in the wilderness into a model nation, which we read about in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And we're going to explore that in a moment. Of how this people group, then Israel, become a nation with borders and a king and a temple. And temple worship becomes then the prescribed way of worshiping, of doing business with God. Of how after exile and return and then occupation, Jesus comes. And the New Testament church is launched, firstly just through Jews, but then including people from every tribe and nationality across the Mediterranean, with amazing outpourings of the Holy Spirit. It's another completely new way that people were experiencing God and relating to God. And how today, even as we meet at this hour and this time zone, before us and after us, Christians are meeting and worshipping and experiencing God in different ways and in different places all over the world and all around the clock. But whilst the ages and times and locations may vary and how God meets with people does seem to change, some things don't change. And the principal one of these is our first point today. So any of you who are note takers, point one, God wants us to know that he's with us. God wants us to know that he is with us. As this vast horde of recently freed slaves that we find here in Exodus have no prior understanding of Yahweh, their only previous experience being that of the Egyptians and their multitude of gods, of idols, images and incantations, God wants them to know very powerfully and very visibly that he is right there with them. And so through a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, he manifests himself to them daily. What must that have been like? Have you ever considered that? Have you ever thought that thought? Have you ever yearned for God to reveal himself to us in that way in our generation? Or wondered why he doesn't? I certainly have. That's an interesting conversation perhaps for you to pick up during the week. I'm quite fascinated by that because as believers trying to be people of God today, of trying to live spiritual lives in a frequently unspiritual surroundings, we all want to know God with us, don't we? In fact, most of us will desperately need to know God with us as we're attempting to swim against the tide in our day and age. A trawl through Scripture will show how God has done that in different times and in different places. We're about to read about this pillar of cloud or fire in Exodus. In 1 Kings 19, the prophet Elijah, anyone remember him? Elijah needs the reassurance of God's presence but doesn't find him in the storm or the earthquake or the fire, but in the still, small voice. Most of us will know of the Holy Spirit's powerful visit in Acts at Pentecost, that amazing situation in Acts 2, and the tongues of flame that are landed on the apostles and their instant ability thereafter to communicate in different languages, to lay their hands on people and heal them. Incredible. All have read of the various dreams and visions experienced by the early apostles and disciples. I hope all of us, but certainly many of us will have our own concrete experiences of God's presence as we have sought him. That may not have been in a pillar of cloud. I'd love to hear if that has been your experience. I'm sure a few of us would. But it will, I hope, have been in just the way that we needed to receive him at just the right time. And if you haven't yet, if you haven't had this reassurance of God's presence, if you don't know God, you will, if you just keep asking and sincerely praying. God wants to reassure his people of his presence, whatever the age. And you'll see that throughout Scripture. It may have changed. It's changed in its form. It's changed in its format. But that message is still the same. God wants to reassure his people of his presence. If you're not convinced by me, then hear these words of Scripture. Deuteronomy 31, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Matthew 28, Jesus' closing words as he departs from his disciples. Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And these mighty words in Romans 8, verse 38. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I hope these words do something for you when you're out there, when you're feeling you need that reassurance. This is what Scripture can do for us. And these are just a few examples, but Scripture is literally littered with them. The issue is, do you believe them? They're there. They've been spoken by God. The issue is always, do we believe them? Do you know God with you today personally? Do we collectively, as Eastleigh Baptist Church, know God with us today? I sincerely pray we do, because it makes all the difference in the world. If you've experienced life before God and had that reassurance, had that descending of peace, had that sense of purpose and belonging visit you, it's just a different world we're living in. Point two. Though God is going to manifest himself to this group of people in a particular way with this dramatic pillar of cloud, it's compelling to note that even in this, he wants their involvement. Let's go back to the text that we're reading and where your thumb might be in Exodus chapter 25, verse 1 to 2. I'll repeat that. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give." Then verse 8, "Have them make me a sanctuary, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you." God, because he's God, is perfectly capable of building a tabernacle for himself. He doesn't need human hands to do that. But interestingly, he wants his people involved. So in Exodus 35, if you flick a few chapters forward, verse 4 to 5, Moses said to the whole Israelite community, "This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring the Lord an offering of gold and silver," and then goes into a great big long list, as you'll find in some of the Old Testament books there. "Yarn, leather, wood, olive oil, spices, gems, and so on. Verse 10, "All who are skilled among you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded, the tabernacle with its tent, etc." Three things that I noted as I was reflecting on these, three things about this involvement. God tells them to do this from what they have, Not from what they haven't got, but from what they have got. Secondly, he wants this from everyone who's willing. There is nothing that beats a willing spirit. Thirdly, an important part of the work needs to be done by those who have particular skills. And that's true of that situation then, and I'm sure you'll find it's true of us today. So to build this tabernacle, this vehicle, through which God wants at this time and this place, or that time and that place, to connect with his people. God wants their money, their gold, their silver, their gems with which to adorn the tabernacle. He wants their kit, the materials with which to construct it, and he wants their time and their skill to put it together. At that time, in that particular situation, their involvement was in creating a physical construction. It was very practical work. What is it for us today? What does it mean for God to involve us today in building his church? Obviously, we still have church buildings, so construction and maintenance are still part of the deal. But church is first and foremost a community of people, isn't it? It's a community of people. I don't want to alarm you with the idea, but if this building falls down tomorrow, is that the end of Eastleigh Baptist Church? It's not likely to fall down tomorrow, by the way. I really don't think that's going to be the case. I don't want to alarm you. No, of course it's not. Because the buildings are lovely, but they're simply tools that help us to do church, to be church, in our purpose, in our mission. And we have seen from our green shirt brigade this morning, this is our way, this is our time. In exactly the same way that God didn't need the Israelites to build him a tabernacle back then, but sought to involve them in it, so God doesn't need, but still wants our involvement in building his church today. He wants me and he wants you involved. So for us to be a genuinely missional community and not just a club, clubs are nice, I'm a member of a club or two myself, but we don't just want to be a club as church. For us to be a genuinely missional community, your money, your kit, possessions, use of homes, vehicles, your skills are required. Can you see that? I'm sure you can, despite how you look. I know you to be intelligent folk. The real question is, are we up for it? Which brings us to our last point, which is wholeheartedness. Wholeheartedness. Let's go back to our text again. The task that they are set here in Exodus is really specific and clear. Donate the money and the materials and then build the tabernacle. What's the response? What's the Israelites' response to this calling? Back to Exodus 35, verse 20 to 29. Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence and ran off back to Egypt, and they were never heard of again. No, it doesn't say that. It says, and everyone who is willing and whose heart moved came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all of its service and for all of the sacred garments. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings and ornaments. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. Everyone who had blue, purple or scarlet yarn or fine linen or goat hair, ram skins dyed red or other durable leather brought them. No sign of a green t-shirt back then, but they had other kits. Those presenting an offering of silver or bronze brought it as an offering to the Lord. And everyone who had acacia wood for any part of the work brought it. Every skilled woman spun with her hands and brought what she had spun. Blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen. And all the women who were willing and had their skills spun the goat hair. Don't know what it is about spinning goat hair that makes it particularly difficult. But they spun it. The leaders brought onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and the breastpiece. They also brought spices and olive oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for fragrant incense. All the Israelite men and women who are willing brought to the Lord freewill offerings for all the work the Lord through Moses had commanded them to do. I so love this. So love this wholeheartedness of the response. People not getting preoccupied with what they haven't got and what they can't do or what they can't bring, but what they can, of giving who they are and what they are, what they have, of the myriad different ways that they could play their part. But it actually gets better. Exodus 36, verse 2, then Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, the people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord has commanded to be done. Then Moses gave an order and they sent this word throughout the camp. No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. And so the people were restrained from bringing more because what they had already had was more than enough to do all the work. Brian, can you imagine the day when you have to tell us to stop giving because we've more than enough to do the work? Oh, happy day. We're not there quite yet, by the way. Exodus 39, verse 32. So all the work on the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, was completed. The Israelites did everything just as the Lord commanded Moses. Then they brought the tabernacle to Moses, the tent and all its furnishings, cross pieces and so on. Job done. Wholehearted commitment, open-handed giving, skilled service. And the outcome? Exodus 40, verse 34 to 38. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. I believe this stuff relates directly to us today. We might read it and think, what on earth is this? You know, in the desert 3,000 years ago, building a strange tabernacle, big tent. What has that got to do with us today? This is precisely speaking to us today in our day and age about building God's church, God's kingdom at this time and in this place. God wants us to know he is with us. God is with us, but he also wants our involvement. He wants to show up. He wants us to show up and be his hands and feet in being the people of God and in bringing people through sharing our lives and our faith to God. And when we do that wholeheartedly, not because we must, but because we may, spectacular, wonderful, awesome things happen. Love abounds. People's lives are transformed. Brokenness is healed. Chains are loosed. And we see it whether it's the tabernacle, whether it's the temple, whether it's the New Testament and Pentecost and this. This is what happens when God is with us and where we are wholehearted. Forgive me if this feels like a hard sell. We're used to being sold to in this day and age and to having people give us hard sell. But good fruit only results when good thoughts are matched and backed by good deeds. You'll find that in Scripture. Certainly that is my experience of church. So we need, brothers and sisters, friends, to add commitment to desire. We need to sign up for this stuff. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I found it just fascinating as I looked at these scriptures and the different ways that you have met with people throughout the ages, in the different ways and shapes and forms that you have revealed yourself, that you have manifested yourself. But Lord, we take comfort and we take power and strength from the fact that you are with us and that you want to be with us and that you want us to know that and receive that. So Jesus, will we know that you are with us this day. But Lord, it's compelling to me that you still want our involvement. You still want our hands and feet. You do not wish us to be a club. You want us to have wholehearted involvement in being your kingdom and being your church today. So, Lord, as we're presented with the different ways that we can do that, please move in our hearts. Guide us and call us in the way that you would have us go. I pray all of that in Jesus' name. Amen. Back to you, Em.